Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, this is a sad day, but it brings back an incredible amount of good memories. Today, America and the world, in my view, lost a remarkable leader. He was a statesman and humanitarian. And Jill and I lost a dear friend. I've been hanging out with Jimmy Carter for over 50 years, it dawned on me. And I had countless conversations over those years.
Yeah, of course, the news that we've all heard now, that former President Jimmy Carter passed away at the age of 100, just had his birthday back in October. And of course, you know, longtime friend and political ally of current President Joe Biden, talking about him in a speech, about a 10-minute speech last night.
I always would be proud to say that he used to kid me about it, that I was the first national figure to endorse him in 1976 when he ran for president. There was an overwhelming reason for it, his character.
And, you know, to me, it also kind of put in perspective. It's easy to forget. I mean, we say Biden's, you know, 81, right? I think 81. Anyway, but how long he also has been. I mean, Jimmy Carter is only 19 years older. Of course, Trump is also, you know, very old as well. But, you know, 1976, he's first endorsing Jimmy Carter. I mean, I was born in 71. You know, like, that's, he's a contemporary of Jimmy Carter, who was the oldest living president. And, you know, just kind of a very different perspective on, you know, where the world is and how long he's been around for it. But, of course, you know, talking about why people felt connected to him. And the key, I think, for people who did feel connected with Jimmy Carter was his behavior as before he was president and since he was president, as you heard, you know, Steve Taylor at the top of the hour, that kind of promo for the station, that, you know, a former president who did most of his great things after he was the president. In fact, we'll talk about that kind of legacy in just a second.
What I find extraordinary about Jimmy Carter, though, is that millions of people all around the world, all over the world, feel they lost a friend as well, even though they never met him. And that's because Jimmy Carter lived a life measured not by words, but by his deeds.
Yeah, and I think that's accurate.
Just look at his life, his life's work. He worked to eradicate disease, not at home, not just at home, but around the world. He forged peace, advanced civil rights, human rights, promoted free and fair elections around the world. He built housing and homeless for the homeless with his own hands. And his compassion and moral clarity lifted people up and changed lives and saved lives all over the globe.
Yeah, and again, I think that legacy of being a former president, nobody can deny.
I think that what Jimmy Carter is an example of is just simple decency. Simple decency. And I think that's what the rest of the world looks to America for.
So the question is, and this is, you know, I wrestle a lot with this, you know, overnight when the news broke yesterday, is, you know, how am I going to talk about Jimmy Carter? Because look, he was a terrible president. I mean, he was a terrible president, but he was a very good person as a leader of the United States. One of the worst, certainly of the 20th century. As an example of virtue and decency and service and giving and evangelism and teaching Sunday school and having a good marriage, unsurpassed. And, you know, somebody says, well, Andrew, I can't believe that you would criticize a man who just died. Well, should I lie? Should I not say it? You know, one of the things that always bothers me is the way we don't tell the truth about people when they pass away, you know, at somebody's funeral, you know, making it seem like they were better than they really were, or that, yeah, I just lying. It bothers me, lying. And I think, and yeah, maybe you think I'm wrong about this, but if Jimmy Carter was the great man of personal Christian virtue that he was, and I believe that he was, would he want to be lied about? Now, he might disagree with the assessment, but, you know, the assessment's pretty uncharitable of his presidency. He barely managed to beat Ford after Ford pardoned Nixon, which was a huge hit to his popularity. Ford himself barely beat Reagan in the primaries. And then, of course, you know, the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, and we had the Iran crisis, the Iran hostage crisis. We had the oil embargo. We had the boycott on the Olympics, one of the worst decisions ever made by a president. I mean, you know, like, you had really catastrophically bad decision-making by this particular man when he was the president of the United States. And why are we talking about him today? Not just because he's 100 and, you know, just died and a great man of virtue and a long marriage and a Christian, but because he was president. So to not talk about that seems to me to be improper. In fact, if anything, you might say, you know, he was president and, I mean, he got completely blown out when Reagan in 1980, okay? And, of course, Reagan then swept to an even bigger landslide the following election. You can say that he sort of did great things in spite of being such a terrible president. Like afterwards, what he did with Habitat and with the foundation and with elections and health matters. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying everything he did since, you know, after being a president was great. You know, I think, you know, he was willing to criticize former presidents, just kind of been a habit not to do. You know, there was an obvious way in which he wasn't not really a member of the club. There was this sort of famous photo of George W., George H.W., President Obama, and President Clinton, and then in the White House, in the Oval Office, and then Carter's kind of off to the side, not a part of the group. And I think that represents him. He was kind of a pariah among the former presidents. And not, they wouldn't say it quite that way, but you could tell. For his approach to the establishment, for the way he intervened in foreign affairs even after being president, in ways he wasn't asked to do, sometimes for the good, sometimes not for the good. I mean, did win the Peace Prize, you know? Like, it's not that he did nothing, and the Camp David Accords are not nothing, but I just, again, I feel like you should tell the truth. And if you have heard me talk about Carter over the years, it'd be weird for you to suddenly hear me praise his virtues and say he was this great president. You know, I don't know, is that something inappropriate to say about? I think you ought to tell the truth. And I think that his truth of his life is this total mixture of he was a good man, a very, very good man who did fantastic things as a Christian husband, you know, service to community kind of person, but very, very bad as a president. In fact, if anything, there's a kind of lesson here that good person in chief isn't the same as being a good commander in chief, isn't the same as being a good president. And we sometimes make this mistake of thinking that, you know, just because you're a good person or that good being a good person is enough. And I'm not even sure that being a good person is necessary. Some of the worst people make very good presidents. And some of the best people make very terrible ones. You know, John, I've kind of said this to you off the air, but I'll say it. You know, I don't consider myself to be like some great person. I feel like I'm fairly virtuous, but not, you know, I certainly, my life doesn't hold up to examination the way I wish it did. But I'd make a terrible president. Like, I would be a terrible president. I know it. I'm not intending to run, but that's part of the reason, you know, among other things. You know, I'm a realist too. So that notion of the good person making a great leader is just not, they're not over, like the Venn diagram barely overlaps. You know what I mean? And I think it's a chance to learn from history that here you have a man who did great things, said very wise things. But as a president, which is the reason we're talking about him, terrible. 718 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and I kind of wish I didn't have to say that, but I think just to be honest, I do. And I want to leave you with just one quote from him, and then I'll get John in here with Traffic on the Fives.
The bond of our common humanity is stronger than the divisiveness of our fears and prejudices. God gives us a capacity for choice. We can choose to alleviate suffering. We can choose to work together for peace. We can make these changes, and we must.
Amen. John Pickens got traffic for you. John?
Brought to you by the Watson Firm, Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly. Not seeing any delays. It's going to hamper your way in. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
437-1620. Always feel free to agree or disagree with me. Got a couple of texts in here. I'm going to read some of them. Let's see. Somebody says, amen, brother. Somebody says, don't lie, say it. You're not a eulogist. You're a journalist. Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah, that's fair. And simply passing away doesn't change the facts of what happened. Let's see. Okay, that's a different subject. Great bounce about Carter. Thank you. What I think it shows is that out of 100 years, he had 4 terrible years. So he had 96 great years. 4 years out of a person's life does not make or break him. And that's a good point. That's a, you know, that's a good point, too. And I think that's very true. And in fact, I almost like, this is going to sound like a weird thing to say. I almost wish he hadn't been president so I could just celebrate him. Like, because as a great American life, apart from being a president, inarguable. An inspiration, a million. Somebody who devoted their life to public service and did everything they could with the power they had available to them to do good things or what they thought. And that doesn't mean I agree with him all the time about politics, certainly. But that's like, man, that's great. You know, how you use the power you've been given is an incredibly important biblical principle, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody says, I agree with you. You'd be a terrible president, Andrew. not fair enough. Not recognizing that the position is entirely about character is a pretty big deficit. Yeah, it's not entirely about character. I think it helps. I think it's important. I think that character defines you, but people with great character don't necessarily make great leaders. Also, and I just to be honest about history, people who don't necessarily have great character sometimes do make great leaders. Just a thought. Last text here, 437-1620. Somebody here says, Jimmy Carter appears to have genuinely been a good guy. I don't know what that is. Okay, anyway, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever pray for spiritual and mental strength? Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers was a prayer to strengthen their inner man. Let's pray his prayer right now and ask God to strengthen us in the same way. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, according to the riches of your glory, please allow us to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, thank you in advance for how you will strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Classes start January 10th. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hey folks, this is Jimmy Patronis, Florida's Chief Financial Officer, wishing each of you a Merry Christmas. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress. Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, fight, fight, fight. That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy, so my response to the president was a very simple, yes, sir. I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Patronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support. Paid for by friends of Jimmy Patronis, Inc.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still no accidents to let you know about. But if you're traveling on Highway 29 right around the 9 Mile Road intersection, both north and southbounds, we're seeing some congestion delays at that light. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, J.D. Vance now among those offering condolences on the passing of former President Jimmy Carter, who died yesterday at the age of 100. On social media, the vice president-elect remarked that Carter dedicated his life to serving his country and said his thoughts and prayers go out to Carter's loved ones. A homeless man is critically hurt after being found lit on fire at the Penn Station in New York. Police were alerted by a passerby. The New York Post says the man told police that he was sleeping and he just woke up and was on fire. It's not clear how it started or if criminal activity was involved. And Andrew, you know, it's been a difficult month for a lot of people in the military, for a lot of young sailors, Marines and soldiers all over the globe. It's their first Christmas away from home. We've got a Navy Times report here that tells us just how much food it takes to put on feasts for all of the military people who are, you know, away from their families. The DOD says that it takes 131,000 pounds of turkey, 108,000 pounds of beef, 54,000 pounds of ham, 29,000 pounds of shrimp, and almost 12,000 containers of eggnog. And this is for all of the holiday meals they prepare. Bases all over the place, remote, you know, deployment locations, onboard ships and everything.
How much turkey?
131,000 pounds.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Can't they just fly them out to the ship?
I don't know why not. Might save some overhead costs.
John, thanks. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Sorry about that. I couldn't resist when you're talking about turkeys. Somebody sent in a neat note here. It says, great coverage of Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's campaign here in 1975 in Pensacola. Stayed at my aunt and uncle's house out in Pensacola Beach. He's in this photo with Ralph and Marion Kinzer. He and Ralph were classmates at the Naval Academy. And that's something I keep forgetting to mention, and I apologize, that he went to the Naval Academy. And, you know, obviously a Navy Academy grad is somebody we also ought to celebrate for that alone. A Submariner, I believe, if I remember correctly, was his kind of his track that he was on. Anyway, 727 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is... I lived in Oregon for a little while, and so when I saw this story, I just thought, shaking my head. The headline, it's a horrible story, okay? But you know how they have the Darwin Awards kind of stories of people who do incredibly dumb things and die? And, you know, the idea of the Darwin Awards is, like, it's so callous, but it's also, what do you do with people? I mean, can you be sad for people when they make such terrible decisions? It's like people who walk off a cliff selfieing, you know, like that kind of thing. Two Oregon men die from exposure in a forest after they went out to look for Sasquatch. I mean, and John, your reaction is 100% my reaction too, which is just, you just, like, you can't but not, I mean, it's horrible. Two people died. But also, dudes, my
really?
Dudes, you went out in the middle of winter in the Oregon wilderness. You caused 60 volunteer search and rescue personnel to engage in a three-day search using canines, drones, and ground teams, and the Coast Guard using infrared to search from the air because you're dumb. That's it. Be less dumb.
Yes.
I mean, I don't. You know, what do you want to know? Anyway. Oh, man. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. Just, you know, there are times when, you know, like, I feel bad about the normal human reaction to some things, and then I'm like, no, that's the reaction.
I agree.
That's the reaction to that particular story. Oh, meanwhile, who is this? Carl's Angus Magnuson, who's the chess champion, the current, you know, world champion or whatever. He's gotten kicked out of a tournament. Magnus Carlsen, that's it. He got kicked out of a tournament because he wouldn't change out of jeans. He says he was quick to the hotel, put something on, went to the tournament. They fined him $200 for wearing jeans and said, you got to go change before you can play. He said no. And they said, well, the dress code is designed to ensure professionalism and fairness for all participants. He's like, I'm the world champion. Although some have suspected that maybe in this particular case, he might not have been able to defend it. But yeah, I'm not sure how tightly connected wearing jeans is to being able to perform in a world chess tournament. Maybe David can tell us, since he's no longer wearing jeans to work.
I feel like I could win now.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Jimmy Carter has died at the age of 100. His presidency marked with turmoil despite his mission to make peace, but his legacy of humanitarianism left its mark on the world.
Carter was often seen with hammer in hand, building homes for the poor as part of his continuing support for the Habitat for Humanity project. He wrote countless books, including one book of poetry and a memoir.
That's Fox's Brett Baer. A state funeral will be held for Carter January 9th, President Biden declaring it a national day of mourning. President Biden also announcing more aid for Ukraine as he wraps up his term in the White House.
Today's announcement of nearly $2.5 billion in aid includes hundreds of thousands of artillery rounds, thousands of rockets, and hundreds of armored vehicles that the president says will strengthen Ukraine's hand as it heads in the winter.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got a beautiful morning. Clear skies, sunshine, 51 degrees in Pensacola. Well, police in Crestview are investigating a bank robbery. This happened last week at the First National Bank there. Witnesses described a suspect as a black male wearing a ski mask with a gray sweatshirt and a fluorescent safety vest. That person demanded money and fled on foot, then got into a small SUV. Police are asking for help in identifying that suspect. A 40-foot sperm whale washed ashore in Fort Morgan over the weekend. The massive whale was found Sunday morning. Alabama officials say it's been removed from the beach now. Tests are being done to determine the cause of death. The animal will then be buried on the beach. The whale's estimated weight was about 30,000 pounds. One person had to be airlifted to the hospital after a large gas station brawl. This was in Loxley last night. Police say the fight broke out at a Circle K on North Hickory Street there about 6 o'clock last night. About five people were reportedly involved. One person was seriously hurt when another person hit them in the head with a pipe. There's no word on their condition at this time. If you've got a real Christmas tree still up in your living room and you're looking to get rid of it this week, there is a farm near Milton that would love to take it off your hands. They are turning these real trees into snacks for their livestock. Gracious Willow Farm says the trees and their sap have vitamins and antioxidants. The sap, they say, also helps to kill parasites. They feed the trees to their goats and their cows. If you'd like to donate your tree to that farm, just give them a call and they can drop it off, and you can drop it off, or they will also pick them up. Santa Rosa County ninth grader Lila Wise has won a statewide art contest for work submitted last year by her eighth grade teacher. And art in the Capitol contest winner, her piece will hang at the state capitol in Tallahassee. But it's not her first art accolade. Last year, she wrote and illustrated a storybook called Otter's Adventures.
With that piece, she went on to be in the top 25 middle school artists of Santa Rosa County. And she also wanted to add that Lila is a true artist, always drawing and thinking creatively. She's an excellent all-around student as well as an artist.
That is from a statement submitted by the eighth grade art teacher, Rachel Southworth, at the school board meeting earlier this month. Southworth submitted that piece for the competition. The board congratulated Lila on her win. Well, a dog that was taken from a home in Baldwin County about a year ago now has been found. The search for Rags began in December of 2023 when a person walked into a home in Silver Hill, snatched the dog. Rags' owner says the dog was found almost 2,000 miles away in Arizona. An investigation continues. They say multiple suspects have been identified so far. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110, even 98 are flowing smoothly. Seeing a minor delay if you're on Highway 29 at the Burgess Road intersection. Both northbound and southbound lanes are seeing just a little bit of congestion there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up into the upper 60s for highs, plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 59 degrees. Keeping the sunny weather around on that Tuesday, high near 72. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 45 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 52 and sunshine in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, and 45 reported in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. New York state government agencies will have to conduct reviews and publish reports that detail how they're using artificial intelligence software under a new law signed by Governor Kathy Hochul. The law requires state agencies to perform assessments of any software that uses algorithms, computational models, or AI techniques, and then submit those reviews to the governor and top legislative leaders, along with posting them online. Two family films dominated the holiday box office this week. Paramount's Sonic the Hedgehog 3 earned $38 million, while Mufasa brought in just over $37 million, according to studio estimates. In honor of their systems coming back online after a cyber attack, Krispy Kreme has quite the promotion to celebrate. For today and tomorrow, the donut chain is offering free delivery on all orders online with a $5 minimum purchase. Other deals are expected to launch in the new year. Futures are sharply lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 107. That's Your Money Now.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 remembers Jimmy Carter.
I think we have a nation that is truly great, not that used to be great or someday will be great again, but one that has an innate character about it that's not adequately recognized.
Jimmy Carter served one term as our 35th president, but since he left office in 1980, he set the gold standard of what a past president of the United States could accomplish. He was a man who used his faith to try to do the right thing, even though it may have cost him politically. Steve Taylor, News Radio 92.3.
Our policies regarding the unhoused population reflect our values as a society. By criminalizing homelessness, you show a disdain for your constituents who are most in need of your help. This proposal is a disgrace to humanity. It is an affront to the Constitution.
This is Ashley Gallagher, a member of the public, speaking at the Escambia County Commission meeting, talking about the camping ban, the one that makes it so that, you know, on public property, you cannot camp, and it gives the sheriff, you know, the authority to remove people. It's kind of the enactment at the local level of what the state has put into place. This is during the conversation about whether to enact that ban. I'm going to give her full thoughts. It was a really interesting conversation because on the one hand, you have the sort of the screaming cry of help the humans. And I'm very sympathetic to that particular cry.
If your goal is to bring homelessness to an end, the appropriate action would be to create policy that prevents it and helps those already struggling with housing insecurity. It is not your place to make this some other county's problem by relocating the homeless or hiding them behind bars. Have courage and work to strengthen our community. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, those are our values. We do not sweep issues under the rug like cowards.
She's there talking, I think, a little bit obliquely about the Project Reconnect, which is sending people to their homes, you know, like their home areas where they have friends, family, social connections, that kind of stuff. More on that in just a moment.
We rise. We help our neighbors in need. This is a country founded on freedom. We do not oppress the homeless. We stand together to make a home for all Americans.
And I, in spirit, I agree with that. We ought to be, as much as we can possibly help, and, you know, not making life impossible for folks who are incapable of owning, for whatever reason, a place to live.
Today, I ask you to consider the legacy you are creating for our county. Is it one of cruelty, where we kick those citizens who are already down, or will you embrace the challenge to fix what is broken?
All right, so that's kind of one perspective. Second perspective comes from one of our most colorful local citizens, Larry Downs Jr., who is training Alex Andrade right now for that MMA fight with Chris Smith from Gulf Coast Guns. I mean, like, coming up in a couple of weeks here. Anyway, at the Bay Center for part of Island Fights. I mean, that's an undercard. That is not the title fight. But anyway, his view on this, again, same subject of homelessness.
Y'all can
and banning camping.
Y'all cannot legislate a fix to this. Or otherwise, it'd already be fixed. It'd already be fixed. There's no way to legislate a fix to this. The only thing you can do is criminalize them. Criminalize. And I get it. Who wants to see a dirty homeless, you know? Who wants to see that? Nobody does. I get it. But a problem is that is freedom. The good.
The good, the ugly, the whatever.
It doesn't matter what y'all say. They're not going to listen to it. Not going to listen to it.
He's talking to the people who are parading their complaints about this program, about this camping ban, right? So he's talking to the other members of the public about how the county commission won't listen.
Or if they do listen to it, they'll say, we get it. We get it, Larry, but, oh, it's just not fair to the others. And it's not fair to me, you know. I like having the bums and the hobos and the homeless out there. I like them to be able to come up to me and ask for help. Sometimes I give them help, sometimes I don't, but that's the beauty of freedom.
Well, that's the question. Is that a level of freedom that we want as a society or not? And, you know, that's the thing that people complain about. They don't particularly usually complain about people simply being homeless or simply, for example, camping. What they're complaining about is all the other stuff, the panhandling, the ugliness, the trash, the drugs and violence and feeling unsafe in your community, all of that kind of stuff. So that's perspective number two. And then perspective number three came from another member of the public, Gwendolyn Gibson, who lives on Murphy Lane. Now, if you don't know Murphy Lane, Murphy Lane is the road that goes right past, that's the Washburn Center off of Pensacola Boulevard, North Palafox. Beggs Lane is like right around the corner, basically. And so the enforcement that took place on Beggs Lane seems to have shoved a lot of people over towards Murphy Lane, but there are already a lot of people there anyway. And she's a resident on that lane.
I'm Gwendolyn Gibson. I live at 64 Murphy Lane. I own 64 and 62. For the past 10 years, I've been fighting the homeless because I only have one way in and out of my road. And these aren't homeless that want to get help. These are homeless for the center that's there, and they live on the side of the road. And I've called the sheriff's company, I've called code enforcement. I've tried to work with everybody. Nothing's transparent. For 10 years, it has affected my life.
And she has had to adjust her life to the vagrancy and worse all around her.
Morning, I go out. There's drugs passed out. People using the bathroom constantly. I have to shoo them away. I have to drive my truck from my front door to my road because you can't walk up and down my road because of the violence. 3 days ago, I was threatened with an 8-foot pole to hit my truck. I love my truck more than anything. You know, I'm a hard worker. I'm a third generation Pensacolian. You know, we've never had this.
And how much are you entitled not to have to endure that on a daily basis in your own home, on your property, going to the street?
I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I have no recourse. I have nobody helping. I can't see any end to this. Why am I scared to drive down my road? Why am I scared to go home at night? Do y'all get to go home, you know, without people in your yard? You know, without people laying in your street? You know, I know it's a big issue and it's got to be taken care of, but, and I know there's only a few people on my road. I'm exhausted from this, you know. I have three with dementia. I work a full-time job. I've been working 48 years of my life.
And living this way is not anything that any citizen should have to endure. And I know historically when we talk about homelessness, we talk a lot about like on Palafox and panhandling and doorways and all the stuff that goes on there. And I've talked to many people who live downtown or work downtown and the problems that they've encountered. But we're, of course, hearing it more with these kind of locations as well. Some of the, you know, private land or near private land or just some of the, just some of them are wonderful. Some of them are atrocious. And like any public nuisance, the question is how much? Well, in this geographic vicinity, the how much is a lot.
I don't see why I have to do it this morning, noon, and night. You know, because they can't control my road, and I'm supposed to run over them or shoot them or whatever I've got to do. That's completely wrong. I don't believe in that. I think we can all work together. I don't understand why we can't get anything done. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm a little quivery and a little emotional because it takes a toll on you after 10 years of them coming up to you saying, well, you don't have the right to do this. Well, what are my rights? What do I have rights with?
I think those are all very fair questions. That's why I wanted to play all three of these perspectives, because there's some truth in all of them. But you're a commissioner looking at these people and trying to decide, you know, what do we do? So what did they do? We'll come back in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Man, you had me cliffhanger. I was like, what did they do? I'm sorry. All right, no accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are looking good. If you are on or trying to get on Highway 90 from Pensacola into Pace, got some congestion delays going on right there at the Scenic Highway light, both northbound and southbound, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
You ready to find the answer out?
Yes. You had me like...
Two more clips from people. Okay, another person who lives right next to her on Murphy Lane. This is... August Voto, I think, is right?
I've been accused through these homeless people of running over some gal's dog, flat out lie. And every time I drive through that gauntlet, I get threatened by her or some other refugee. Other neighbors have been assaulted. Neighbor next door was stabbed in the head and threatened. And there's gunshots throughout the night. There's open drug deals, public urination and defecation. And the trash is constant, even though I clean up in front of my house daily.
Just so you hear, it's not simply the one person. And then Teresa Blackwell, who's a little bit more well-known for her work on OLF-8 and Beulah Matters, but, you know, also speaking at this particular meeting.
Why is that such a difficult thing? Take some government property where there aren't a bunch of neighbors around and give them the restrooms and water and whatever they need to survive. So... that's what I'd say. These are humans. It's ridiculous to put them in jail, give them a rap sheet for going to sleep in public.
And that's part of the problem here is that when you make camping illegal, eventually you have to have recourse, and the recourse is ultimately, you know, jail, right? And this particular ordinance, the one that was on discussion, which does mirror the state ordinance, lodging or residing overnight in a temporary outdoor habitation used as a dwelling or living space and evidenced by the erection of a tent or otherwise temporary shelter, the presence of bedding or pillows, storage of personal belongings, or lodging or residing overnight in outdoor space without a tent or other temporary shelter, or lodging or residing overnight in a motor vehicle on public property not otherwise designated for such purpose. Public camping or sleeping does not include lodging or residing overnight in a motor vehicle that is registered, insured, and located in a place designated for such purpose, or camping for recreational purpose on property designated for that. And then it goes through kind of the, you know, what do you do? Penalty, punishable by a fine not to exceed $500, imprisonment in county jail not to exceed $60, or by both such fine and imprisonment. Law enforcement or code enforcement may issue a civil citation. Anybody who refuses to sign and accept can be guilty of a misdemeanor, second degree, and so forth. Now, remember, the state ordinance allows but does not require the county to create a public campground, a place, a temporary place for up to a year that does not basically affect the property value of the neighbors. And, you know, there's all kinds of requirements for security and, you know, facilities and the like. The county has so far completely declined or failed to do that. I'm actually curious, John, I haven't heard of, maybe David, you know as well, I haven't heard of anybody in the state doing that yet. Now, they may all be waiting to see who else tries it first, but have you guys heard of anywhere in the state of Florida anybody's actually tried to create a campground area for the homeless under this ordinance?
I have not.
I have not either. Yeah. I'm just kind of curious if that's taking place. Okay, so that's kind of the where we're at. And then West Moreno, the Project Reconnect I told you about a moment ago, that's actually been a fairly successful program, at least according to the county, and I don't have reason to disagree with their assessment.
What our approach has been to utilize our community partners, Ministry Village, for instance. We have Project Reconnect, and they're administering that program for us. And as of today, we've had 103 homeless folks that volunteered and wanted to go home or go to a family, another family member's house, or were somewhere where they think they have a better support system. And so we're paying for bus tickets and plane tickets to do those sorts of things.
Yeah, the uncharitable version of that is we're just shipping them to somebody else's problem. That understanding the program, and I know Wes is hard on this, and some of the other people who have been working on this, is they really do care, is really just trying to get people in a situation where they're more likely to succeed. They're not succeeding here. Let's get them to a home where they know people, where they have friends, where they have family. Let's send them, because that's one of the keys, is, you know, isolation from social connections is one of the key problems that people run into. There's also the issue of, do they want help, you know, which, and look, again, I think it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Homelessness is an incredibly varied problem with a lot of nuance and complication, everything from, you know, mental illness to addiction to just economic adversity to individuals who absolutely want help to individuals who absolutely do not want help. There's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of variety in here. It's not like one thing. You have homeless who do not commit any kind of vagrancy or panhandling. You have panhandlers and vagrants who do not actually have homelessness. I mean, there's a lot, okay? But one of the things that keeps coming up is we are willing to help anybody who wants the help. The problem is a lot of people do not want the help.
The other day when they
This is Mike Colder, by the way, the county commission chairman.
The other day when they cleared out Beggs Lane, they removed over 150 people. 13 people went to Waterfort Mission, 4 stayed, and there were plenty of beds. So some of these folks didn't want help. And so we got to look at this and look at the totality for the citizens, in my opinion, that no one wants to criminalize homelessness, but at the same time, there are citizens out there that are living with this in their neighborhoods, and they're reaching out to me, and I know other commissioners on this board, pleading for us to do something. And this is just in line with what the state legislators is asking us to do, and to do what the sheriff has asked us to do, so that there can be some consistency between the city and the county.
So what would you do if you're a county commissioner? Would you vote for this ban? I would. And they did. It was a 5-0 vote. They passed the ban. So camping in public is now illegal. And now the question is, and what do you do with the folks who don't want help? Because, by the way, wanting help is also not a requirement of being a human. I know it's frustrating that people don't want help. I know we wish we could do something for them. But as kind of Larry Down says, you know, people are free to choose homelessness or to make other choices that sort of put them in a position where they can't choose out of homelessness, I mean, however you want to phrase it, okay? And we can't make just being homeless illegal. Correct. What do you do if they don't have any place where they can, you know, eat or pee or sleep or just sit? Well, that's the challenge. That's exactly the challenge that, as a society, we're facing right now. And as D.C. Reeves likes to often say, it's not a unique challenge to Pensacola. Every mayor in every city across the country is dealing with this challenge right now. And what do we do? Well, it's not easy, or we would have solved it. I agree, you know, with Larry about that. If it were easy to solve, we would have solved it. I think this is the right first step. I also agree with Teresa. I think we ought to try the campground. Maybe it doesn't work. but we have a year you can do it. Let's try that. Well, then you got to find a location. Then you got to pay. I mean, you know, there's a lot that goes with that. There's also an ongoing conversation about having a low barrier, you know, shelter, a place where people can go that they can get into, and it doesn't matter what their circumstances are. By the way, I like the pallet house idea. That's a way of giving people who aren't really fit for a sort of a congregate shelter that they can be on their own in an outdoor place. That actually, that's a nice thing that the city is doing that I think is going to help. You know, when we find a solution, I'll let you know. But for now, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I think a lot of times our meetings, our county commission, city council meetings, you know, a lot of what they do is boring, and that's fine. That's not a knock. That just is. Sometimes what they do is sort of, you know, more, you know, heat than light, just kind of entertaining, Milton. And a lot of time, or they flush $70 million down the drain, you know, whatever. Or sometimes it's just, let's think about this subject. Let's pay attention. Let's consider it. Let's not ignore slices of it that are uncomfortable so that, you know, as a community, a democracy, a self-governing population, we can know what we're talking about and then talk about it and then decide what to do. And I just tell you, for me personally, you know, the legal side, the litigation side, you know, that's one slice of this. We personally, we're doing our end of year giving and we help local agencies. You know, we help Loaves and Fishes. We donate our money to Loaves and Fishes and to Mana and to Waterfront. You know, we give a lot of money to them every year because that's the gospel and that's what we believe is important, is doing that work. So that's a part of it too, having funding for local agencies, especially at the end of year, right? It's just, you know, something to think about. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I'm looking at I-10, I-110. They're looking good. Even the 3-mile bridge is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message. Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson, Republican for Congress, District 1.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, the news radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Claw is our master. Claw chooses who will go and who will stay. Yes.
Pumpkins and Nine Inch Nails in one show. We're having a good time today. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines and a tie. David?
Well, Andrew, there was a record holiday
David's
shopping
wearing a tie
season
today, in case you didn't know. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
A record holiday shopping season is over, but that has also led to a rush of unwanted gifts. Etiquette experts say when it comes to exchanges, there is one thing to consider.
Do no
harm. That's your first rule. You don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You don't want to say anything negative about it to a family member.
And,
lying. Lying
that's Diane
Gossman. The premise.
She recommends lying about how much you love your
or
unwanted
gift. Or you could
root
your relationships in honesty, because then they'll know how to give you better gifts in the future.
That'll never work.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 923. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.